Judges chapter 9. And I sent out the chapter division to you guys, and I was thinking, probably they're going to hate me for this thing. Chapter 9 is not easy to divide up. And it's really, you read it, that means, at least you looked at it. 57 verses. It's almost like reading a book of Luke. Let's start. A mother was preparing a pancake for her sons, Kevin, 5-year-old, and Ryan, 3-year-old, one morning. Boys, typical, like our grandkids, they're bickering over everything and anything. And they were bickering over who would get the first pancake. Mother thought it was a great teachable moment for morale. So she said this way. If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can't wait. Kevin looked at Ryan. He said, Ryan, you be Jesus. We laugh at this story because, in a way, we all know what that means. Because we would be the one who said to our brother, you be Jesus. Well, get the first portion. We say it because we are Christian or we quote unquote, we like to be pious. So if we can get away, we prefer our way over God's way. Don't we not? Because that's what we are. We are selfish individuals. I can comfortably say that there is a heaven and hell difference between selfishness and selflessness. Are you with me? Selfishness and selflessness. Let's take a look at the definition of these two. First one, selfishness, concern only with oneself. Concern only with oneself. However, selflessness is exhibiting and motivated by no concern for oneself. A couple of good examples of selfishness. As soon as you guys finish writing, I will change the slide. The couple of good examples of selfishness we can find in the Bible are Absalom and Abimelech, the character we are going to study soon. However, we find the best example of the selflessness is our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his life for all of us. Absalom and Abimelech were the just opposite of Jesus. They both had such a great passionate desire to be kings that they allowed nothing to stand in their ways, not even the lives of hundreds of innocent people. And this is the longest chapter in the book of Judges and one of the most depressing one because so much blood has been shed in this 57 verses. There are like at least a couple of years of period. But for what? Because a person's desire. I saw this on the Facebook comment. Somebody wrote it very wisely. Many people try to be a king. Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, and so on. But there's only one person tried to be the servant. That's Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? That's exactly what we are talking about. Let's stop and pray. Father, we lift up this tonight's Bible study, knowing that you are great and an awesome God. All wise, your sovereignty is beyond anybody's capacity to reject. Father, we pray that you speak to us. Teach us less of selfishness, but selflessness, like our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for ransom for many. Father, teach us and anoint our heart that we may receive your guidance. Father, we pray that your anointing be upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you guys hot? Yes, no?
No.
Of course. Nobody can agree here. Verse 1, then Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to chapter 9, Judges chapter 9, verse 1, please. Judges in the Old Testament. Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to the Shechem, to his mother's brother, and spoke with them, with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and bone. And his mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in hearing of all the men of Shechem. Their hearts were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-Berith. Get this, guys. You can see what kind of character this guy, Abimelech, is. So, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. He had to buy their respect and loyalty. And this, verse 5, then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers and 70 sons of Jerubbaal on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of the Beth Millo. They went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree of the pillar that was in Shechem. And you guys remember the city name Shechem from mentioned anywhere else? Yes.
Abraham?
Yeah, he was in Shechem, but I'm talking about a little more incident. Not just visiting. Hi, guys. Bye, guys. Any of you remember? Huh? No. Samson? No. You're pushing a little too far. How about Jacob? Jacob's son, Jacob's daughter, Dinah, was raped by the prince of Shechem. And in return, what did the Jacob's son did? Yep. Yep. Good. All right, what do you see here? Give me your interpretation, please. From verse 1 through 6. Not observation. Don't summarize. We already read. You guys did the observation, so I'm asking you to give me your interpretation. Okay, good. What does that verse, after what you just said, remind you of the verse from Book of Proverbs? Any verse from the Book of Proverbs? Many people remember that, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Would you go there, please? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is my first memory verse as a Christian, when the earth was crusting. You feel like it sometimes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. Amen? Very good. And only God can promote and demote. Exactly. What I see here is a selfish ambition that hurts and destroys innocent lives. Some people, like a 21st century, some people are so determined to have a promotion in their own corporate office, they will do anything at whoever step on and at the cost of their family. And what do they get? Broken family. As we learned last week, Abimelech was the son of Gibeon, Gideon, not Gibeon, a slave woman who lived in her father's family in Shechem. The name means that my father is a king. In his ambitious selfish mind, he decided he would be king over Israel at any cost. Ambition itself is not an evil thing. Am I correct? Ambition can be also translated as confidence. Confidence is not wrong, as long as it mixes with a genuine humility and is controlled by the will of God. If it's God's wind that lifts us, we are soaring on the wings that He has given us. Then we can fly as high as He can take us. But if we manufactured both wind and wings, we heading for the terrible crash and burn. I've done that before. When I was involved in the prison ministry, for some stupid reason, I thought I'm going to be the Bible teacher. So I tried. And it was not God's time. So I did a crash and burn so bad, I didn't want to be a Bible teacher when He called me. So I tried to dodge the call for 2 years. And finally, the Lord used prison inmates to told me that you're dodging the God's call. Oh, duh. Finally, gave in. That's Jonah. Yeah. Thank you. As a matter of fact, the selfish ambition, as I mentioned, hurts and destroys innocent lives. Here are the best examples. Keep your finger in Judges chapter 9. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, please. Let's read this carefully. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who is this I? Lucifer, the former archangel who became Satan. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will also sit on the mount of a congregation on the far side of the north. He trying to be equivalent or the above God. How about this guy? Book of Daniels, please. Book of Daniel, not Daniels. There's only one Daniel. Daniel chapter, right after Book of Ezekiel, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 28. You there yet? All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12th month, after he had the dream, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for royal dwelling of my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While this word is still in his mouth, God struck him. And what happened to him? He became like a beast. Nails grew, hair grew, and he was eating grass like an ox. He was acting like an animal, literally. For 7 long years until he came to sense, he looked up to God and repented. God restored everything back to him. So Abimelech killed 70 of his half-brothers on his father's side with the support of his brothers, half-brothers on his mother's side. Let's go to James chapter 4 in the New Testament, way in the back, James chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from their desire for pleasure that wars are in your members? You lust and you do not have. This lust is not, guys, this is not about the sensual lust. This is the more like a covetousness. Okay? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. If we ask according to God's will, guess what happened? Do we get them or not? No. Listen carefully what I said. If we ask according to His will, Do we get it or not? Yeah. If we ask, just ask. It's according to His will. It's not our will. You know, some of the denominations said, well, just ask, tell God what you want. Oh, no, you don't want to do that. If you demand sometimes, if you demand so much, God will let you have it so you can learn the lesson. When you get what you want and it's not what you need to have, God, you will, trust me, you will go through a miserable time. Been there, done that, bought the shirt, and wrote a book about it. It's not a pretty sight. Okay, continue in verse 7 of chapter 9 in Judges. Yeah. Now, when they had told Jotham, he went and stood on top of the mountain of Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out. He said to them, listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint the king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men, and go stay sway over the trees? Then the tree said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But a fig tree said, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go sway over trees? Then trees said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both man and God and man, and go sway over the trees? Then all the trees said to bramble, you come reign over us. They're going down real deep. Excuse me. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as a king over you, then come and take the shelter in my shade. But if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedar of the Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you have acted in the truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done to him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone, made Abimelech, son of his female servant, the king over men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then that you have acted in truth, the sincerity of with Jerubbaal, with his house this day, rejoice, and then rejoice in Abimelech, let him also rejoice in you. Verse 20, but if not, let the fire come from Abimelech and devour the man of Shechem. I want you to notice this, verse 20, okay? Shechem and Beth Millo. And let the fire from the man of Shechem and from the Beth Millo and devour Abimelech. Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to the Beer and dwelt there, for the fear of Abimelech his brother. All right, who has an interpretation for me? Remember not to give me the observation, summary of what we just read. Anyone? Yes, Mr. Roger? No? Never mind?
You have to put God first, pray to God, and ask him. Well, Jeremy, he'll pick the right or do your own will, because the same person that you're going to give loyalty to, you're going to get burned.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good one. Yes, Mikey. Good. That's a good one. Good. While Gary was talking, the Bible verse came to me from the book of Psalm. Unless the Lord built the house, builders labors in vain. Unless the Lord watch over city, the watchman's labor is in vain. We got to put the God in the equation, like Roger mentioned, in everything we do. Not whether you're going to have a cheeseburger or burrito. That's up to you. Have a breather, more testier. Okay, the first parable, this is the first parable recorded in the scripture. And you may think that, well, no, preacher, you got it wrong. Parable was invented by Jesus Christ in the four gospels only. No, I beg to differ. Because there are two, right off my head, two parables mentioned in the Old Testament. And you may remember it. Remember the prophet Nathan went to the king's chamber with after the Bathsheba for a year? Walked in. King David, I have a situation here. And he talked about the parable of Ulam. That was a parable describing the situation to make a point too about that situation. Another good one is General Joab hired this wise woman from the Tekoa. Tekoa. Why don't they just call it Sararita? And she was to confront the king who exiled his son Absalom for 3 years, three long years. And he was confronting the king. That was another parable. It was written in 2 Samuel chapter 14. It's been said that blind ambition is a giant step away from God and one step close to catastrophe. Giant step away from God, but one step close to the catastrophe. We are living in the age of self-promotion, do we not? Everything is about... Yesterday or the day before yesterday, I just happened to went into the LinkedIn. Any of you guys remember what that is? Nothing wrong with making a network. Nothing wrong with having your resume out there. But one thing in common in all the people who are in LinkedIn is self-promotion. They are good at it. So we are in the living in the age of self-promotion. Self-promotion in Christianity is a nothing but horrible ingredient to cook up self-poison. Let me say one more time. Self-promotion in Christianity is a nothing but a horrible ingredient to cook up self-poison. You guys remember Herb Perez, pastor of the Calvary Chapel, Santa Cruz. Great guy, great teacher. When I was giving him discipleship, one of the things that I mentioned to him is whenever you encounter a congregation who come to you and tell you that he is looking for the position of an elder or deacon, he is the one you are not going to put him in the position. Just stay far away from him. Or his wife or his mother or whoever comes trying to make a promotion. No, self-promotion is not going to work in Christianity. Because God is the one who is going to appoint. If this is in church situation, God will speak to me. If I need to bring somebody up to the leadership level, he will speak to me. You can come to me with all the song and dance. And guess what I'm going to do? I will stay far away from you when it comes to that kind of thing. Another thing, it's a dangerous thing for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We all need to discover the gift of God, gift God has given us and then use them in the place where he put us, where he puts us. Each member in the body of Christ is important and we all need to minister to one another. Since there is no competition in the work of the Lord, there is no need for us to promote ourselves over others. Are you with me so far? The important thing is that only God receives the glory. Would you go to Romans chapter 12? No, I'm not going to go to verse 1 and 2. It is awesome, awesome verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. One verse behind. Don't you feel sorry for the John 3:17 or 15. Because you never get, they never get to stand up. It's like Romans 12:3. Nobody reads that verse. All right. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one measure of faith. In other words, let's measure ourselves according to God's ruler, not according to our own ruler. Our own ruler has this. It has a flexibility. What am I talking about? When we measure our other people, we have a ruler about yay long, and we try to put everybody in that small size ruler. When it comes to ourselves, we measure them with a this big long ruler. Seems like we're fitting very well in that big ruler. Back to chapter 9, verse 22. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the man of Shechem, and the man of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. In other words, the honeymoon is over. That the crime has done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the man of Shechem who aided him in the killing of his brothers. Then the man of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the top of the mountains. They robbed all who passed by them along that way. It was told Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brother and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out into the field, gathered grapes from their vineyard, and tried them and made them merry. And they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? Who is Shechem? That we should serve him. Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is he not Zebul, his officer? Serve the man of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Why should we serve him? If only this man, this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech." So he said to the Abimelech, "Increase your army and come out." Then Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the word of Gaal, the son of Ebed. His anger was aroused, and he sent a messenger to Abimelech secretly, saying, "Take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to the Shechem, and here they are, fortifying the city against you. Now, therefore, get up, and by night, and you, the people of who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. It shall be that as soon as the sun is up in the morning, you shall rise early and rush upon the city. When he and the people who are with him come out against you, and you may then do to them as you find the opportunity." So Abimelech and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem 4 companies. When Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the lying in wait. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the top of the mountains." Zebul said to him, "You see the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." So Gaal spoke again, said, "See, the people are coming down from the center of the land. Another company is coming from the diviners, the terebinth tree." Verse 38. Then Zebul said to him, "Where indeed your mouth now, with which you said, 'Who is Abimelech, that we would serve him?' are not these people whom you despise? Go out, if you will, and fight with them now. So Gaal went out and led the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled from him. Gaal fled from the Abimelech. And many fell wounded, and for the very entrance to the entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt at Aruma, and Jabal drove out Gaal and his brothers, so that they would not dwell in Shechem. And it came about the next day that the people went out to the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and lay in wait in the field. He looked, and there were people coming out of the city. He rose against them, attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it. He demolished the city and sowed it with the salt. Note that, please. Now, when all the men of the tower of Shechem had heard, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Bereth. It was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, and he and all the people who were with him. Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down the bough from the tree and took it and laid it on his own shoulder. And then he said to his people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, make haste, do as I have done." So each of the people likewise cut down his own bow and followed Abimelech, put him against a stronghold and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Okay, give me your interpretation, please. Talk about bloodbath. Sometimes the Bible is a quite R-rated story, isn't it? It gets worse as we go through the book of Judges. Anyone? Yes. Why do you think God would allow Abimelech to be king for 3 years? What kind of God were they serving? Was Abimelech following God?
No.
Okay. Baal-Berith. That's what they were serving. And actually, Abimelech could have cared less about any God. God allowed the people in the promised land reign over and lived there for over 400 years until the Israel became a nation. God has a timing for everything. Okay, continue. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What does it mean to Kevin? Amen.
He could have took him out the first day, but he gave him space in 3 years. You know, why? He's patient.
Okay. Who else?
Does
our country deserved God's blessing?
No.
Why?
We have turned our backs upon God a long time ago when we kicked him out of everything that our, basically our forefathers wanted us to have. They based the Declaration of Independence on God's word, mm-hmm. and God's ways. We, as a country, all these years later, have turned our backs upon them. Yeah. We kicked them out of school. We kicked them out of the courts, out of all our daily lives, and they're trying to kick them out of church in a lot of places. So it's, we have done bad for him.
Do you know?
Yes, sir.
He's here in Green Valley. There's a church. I seen it the other day on La Piñata. It says, "You want God to keep blessing America, stop legalizing sin."
Very good. Very good.
I also see here that God will use even, it's sometimes like the lesser evil, or you know, using the like to take care of his deeds, even though he's not at all with God. Like how he can use anyone in power for his purpose. But one thing is, you know, I guess I'm getting the feeling people ask us about the sowing of the salt. That kind of reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah when it went to salt. That it makes me think that Shechem was a much more evil place. Also,
you come up with the funny word, eviler. Let's make a word as we go along. Who cares? Does God use Satan? Can God use a Satan? Yeah. You know, if you have any doubt, stay with us with the Book of Revelation study on Sunday. You will be surprised how God orchestrated the whole thing. Yeah. All right. No, you don't. Abimelech?
That they wanted him to be king and they turned the title off? Guess what?
Yep.
So whoever you want to follow and have in charge of you.
Remember what I often said? What the people think about pastor is going from the penthouse to the outhouse in nanoseconds? Same thing. This is my interpretation. Those who gain the things by force will lose it by force. Abimelech tried to get the power and he killed how many people, and now he's losing and he will see himself losing more. The Lord created a massive problem between the self-appointed king and his followers. Abimelech was going to find out the fact that God's millstone grinds slowly, but it grinds exceedingly fine. Just because God does not punish the evil one right on the spot, that doesn't mean God is kind of winking at our sins. Are you with me on that? If you are sinning against God and the Holy Spirit is tapping your conscience like this, and do not ignore it. It's better for you to stop right then, right there, and repent, turn to God, to make it right, then ignore it, and he will grind you exceedingly fine with the punishment. Gaal's approach in verse 20 is very effective. He reminded people of Shechem that Abimelech was a half Shechem and half Jew instead of a complete Shechem person like him. Sounds like a racial baiting now, like happening nowadays. The very platform Abimelech used to get the support from the Shechem people boomerang back to him. This shows a problem of a following man who comes to a power through violence. It's only a matter of time until he turns to the same violence against the followers. Good example will be the Antichrist. From chapter 4, we will see the Antichrist. No, we don't know who he is, so don't hold your hopes up. Antichrist show up, and he's the kinds of guy, he's diplomatically really good. I'm sure he has oracle skill that beyond our comprehension. And he would kind of put the square peg in the round hole without making a fuss about anybody. He could make a peace in the Middle East, and he would make a peace in around the world. He would get the approval from everybody. And he even built temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. At this point, if you even carry the Bible up to the Temple Mount, there'll be a fight between the Muslim guardian and the Israel police. First of all, you cannot carry anything. You cannot have a cross. If you have a cross necklace, you have to tuck in so it cannot be seen. And Jewish people, when they go up, they have to take off the yarmulke. They cannot have anything there other than whatever they... Because Temple Mount is maintained by the Israel, Muslim, but policed by the Israelis. Most funny way to do it. But somehow Antichrist will convince both sides they can have a Jewish temple, they can have Islam mosque as is. When we get to the Revelation, we will talk more about that. Would you go to Matthew chapter 26, please? Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. Jesus said, and if you have a red letter Bible, it's in red, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by sword." If you have to obtain something by force, most likely you will lose that thing by force. The people of Shechem thought that the tower would protect them from the Abimelech's attack. Folks, there's only one strong tower that will protect you from anything. You know what that is? The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and righteous run to it and be saved. And as I'm quoting this Bible verse from the Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, and I was thinking about that song, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you guys remember that song? Don't let me sing because it will hurt your ears. It was after the years of walking with the Lord, Apostle Paul did not refer himself as chief of the all saints. He was literally second in command in Christianity. He wrote more books in the New Testament than any apostles. But rather, chief of the all saints in 1 Timothy chapter 1:15. This was not a man who evaluated himself according to achievement of the world. Rather, a man who simply had been looking into the God's mirror and saw the depravity of his heart, even as he was still being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Somebody said this: the more you know about God, the more you know the depravity of your own sin. I say, yes, amen. Can I change the slide? If you are a true believer, if you are truly a spiritual person, if you are really growing in your faith, then you will be humble and open, always realizing that there is so much to learn. If you think that you came to the plateau, spiritual plateau, you just lied to yourself. This is the mark of a person who really wants to know God. A truly spiritual person will always say there is so much to learn and there is so much more in his and her life that need to change. May I change the slide? In contrast, the self-deceived person, the person who thinks they are spiritual, will really not be open to counsel. They will not be open to teaching. They think they know it all, which only shows how little they know. Have you ever talked with somebody, did something wrong, so you're trying to talk to that person, that person has all the answers and all the excuse why he's doing it or she's doing it. Don't continue. Stop. Just walk away. Let's continue in verse 50. Then Abimelech went to the Bez, and he encamped against the Bez and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city. All the men and women, all the people of the city fled there, shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came far as the tower and fought against it. He drew near the door of the tower to burn it with the fire. Remember, this is the same tactic that he used in the Shechem, right? Verse 53. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest the man say to me that a woman killed him." Until the dying moment, he has an ego. So his young man thrust him through. He died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his place. Thus the God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing the 70 brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own head. On them came the curse of Jotham, of the son of Jerubbaal. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Good? Good? Who else? Good? This is what I see. It's not ourselves who make our own future, but God. After brutal victory at the Tower of Shechem, Abimelech probably thought he is the expert in the tower attack. However, he made a fatal mistake, but he got too close. Woman dropped the upper millstone on his head and fatally injured him. I guess you can say he got stoned. Bottom line, huh?
Literally.
Yeah. Bottom line is that Abimelech ignored another fact we all should remember. It is not ourselves. It is not ourselves who can make our own future, but God. This is a very important verse. I want you to memorize this. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Where did that come up with the Deuteronomy? 16:9. This would be the theme of this chapter. Man's heart plan his way, but the Lord, what? Direct his step. Amen? Our Lord Jesus gave us a great example of his selflessness at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was willing to take his Father's will over his own, even though he knew what kinds of suffering he had to go through. All right, give me an application. Don't look at mine. Come up with your own application. What do you have? Yes, Kevin, you have that look. No?
You might destroy that.
Okay, good one. Carl is thinking.
Count your blessings. Second, he prevailed in a battle that decided that...
Let's make an application for the call.
and things...
Good.
Things,
good. Did you notice there are several character names? Abimelech, Jotham, Gaal, Ebed. Was it Ebed? I forgot his name. And then... Jebel, five guys, they were talking. They never mentioned the name of God. In other words, these guys are ungodly people, right? As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you ever put God out of your equation, if you put God out of your decision, you will regret it. Because if you put God out of your decision, that decision is immediately become an ungodly decision. It will fail, exactly. Yes, Gary? Yes? Good. Here are my applications. Number one, Ambition itself is not an evil thing as long as it mixed with a genuine humility and control is controlled by the will of God. Amen? Second application, it's a dangerous thing for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. There was a guy in our church long ago. He always talked about spirit-led. And everything is a spirit. Everything he does and think is according to him, is a spirit-led. It turned out to be he's anything but spirit-led. More like an evil spirit-led. Be careful which spirit you're following. Because whoever is leading your heart will always go along with what the Bible says. In context, not out of context. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.